Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, Mark Ziegler, nice enough to join us here on 97.3 The Fan, following a big win last night for San Diego State's basketball team, taking down Nevada 65-57. Sorry to make you wait a moment, Mark, but we had to make that official there.
No, no problem. You know, it's funny. Dusher walked into the press conference last night, and there were actually a lot of people there, a lot of cameras, a lot of reporters. It was probably the best attended post game press conference of the year. And he goes, "Man, what are all these people doing here? Is Machado here?"
Brian Dutcher getting with the program. Well, it was a fantastic performance last night, I thought, more than anything else by the Aztec defense, Mark. It reminded me of a Steve Fisher, 2011 Sweet 16 team type defensive performance. They somehow just locked down Nevada last night, and they got me believing now that if they can, rely on that kind of defense, that who knows, sky might be the limit again this year as it was last year.
Yeah, it's really been interesting because if you look at the last three or four games, they have, for the most part, not all of them, but most part, their shooting percentage has been going down. They're not making as many threes. Their assists have been going down. Remember, in the beginning of the season, it was all about let's get more assists and turnovers, let's take care of the ball, let's share the ball, let's get 18, 20 assists a game, let's make a bunch of threes. And then their turnovers have been going up. I mean, they've had 16, 16, and 14 turnovers in the last three games. They shoot for 10 a game, more realistically about 11.5 or 12. But they've been going up. Their free throws, which were great all season, they were terrible from the line last night. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, reminds me a lot about the teams from 5-6 years ago and how they won, and it's kind of interesting to see this transformation all of a sudden in the middle of the season, but whatever is working, and it certainly worked last night.
Mark, you've been covering this team for quite some time. Where does that win last night rank amongst the wins in this basketball program?
Well, okay, so it was the highest ranked opponent they'd ever beaten, which it just shocked me at first. Right. I didn't know that. And I had to look that up a couple times. The previous high was number 7 three times. And, Gonzaga came here last year, they were 12. When they went to, our memories try to kind of change things for us. When they went to Kansas and won at Allen Fieldhouse, you think, well, yeah, they beat a top 5 Kansas team. They were 16. Although I would argue that winning at Allen Fieldhouse against number 16, yeah, Kansas is harder on the road than winning against mm-hmm. a number six Nevada team at home. So I think there have been bigger wins. I think the win at Gonzaga in the regular season by the 34-3 team in 2010-11 was probably the biggest win I've seen or been a part of, because it just changed the whole program. But this one ranked up there for a different reason, and that's because the program probably has been sliding a little bit in many people's view, and this kind of restored some hope. And so in that respect, it was important, but for different reasons than before.
Mark Ziegler with us from the Union Tribune, following the Aztec 65-57 beatdown of Nevada last night. I say beatdown because I really thought they controlled the game throughout. I mean, it wasn't really close as the final score. I didn't get a chance. I know you probably didn't get a chance to get it into my paper because of your deadlines. So I didn't really get a chance to see what Dutcher said after the game. I also didn't get a chance to hear what Eric Musselman said after the game. Can you give me just a little breakdown of both coaches after that game last night? Because I always love to read your story and get that stuff, but sometimes it comes out so late I can't get it.
Yeah, what's funny is, neither really said much at all. I mean, Dutcher came up there, and people asked him a couple questions. Usually he's in there for about 10 minutes, 12 minutes. He was there for about 3 minutes, and that was it. No one really had any of the questions. There wasn't much to say. I mean, they played great D. They rebounded. They held him off down the stretch, he got great contributions off his bench, and that was pretty much it. And then Eric Musselman, I wasn't there for it, but he had a very short, snippety press conference.
He was snippy all game.
Local reps. Oh, yeah, and you knew that. He admits it. I mean, and I know Eric for 20-plus years. I think he's a great guy. he's not a very good loser. Mm. And he wasn't a good loser last night. I mean, he said all the right things, but he was just very short. And, you know, I'll give Chris Daniels a credit. They defended him. And the only real, you know, thing he said, he was critical of his own team, was, look, we played in two very tough environments, in New Mexico in the pit and at Viejas, the two toughest environments, the Mountain West, and we didn't handle either well at all. We just didn't come to play. Either of them didn't show our capability. And that's a pretty interesting point, because it's true. And you know, the rest of the Mountain West isn't, you know, playing on the road isn't what it is playing at the pit or at Viejas. And in those two big moments, they didn't live up to expectations. You know, he's upset because he's 0-3 at Viejas. This is his home. He calls San Diego home. His mother's lived here since the 70s. And he's lived here on and off for most of that. And, you know, particularly in the summers and the off seasons, and played basketball here, pick up. He knows a ton of people. And he wants to win here desperately. I mean, he wanted to win really bad, and you could see that in the first half. Yeah. I mean, he lost his mind numerous times.
That he did, indeed.
That's numerous times.
Mark, do you think that win last night helps at all the Aztecs get into the tournament, or is it Mountain West title or bust for them still?
It's Mountain West title or bust. Okay. I mean, here's the way to put it. You think on the surface, look, wow, they won 7 of 8. They just knocked off the number 16 in the country. And like you said, I mean, I think it was a fairly convincing, easy win. I'm not sure anything is easy against number 6 in the country, but it was pretty convincing until, you know, the last 4 minutes or last minute when Nevada cut it to 4, but they kind of held that off. And you start to think, well, yeah, they're good enough to be in the NIT. And they are, but right now they are. But the problem is it's based on your whole entire body of work. Their NET, which is the new version of RPI the NCAA is using now, that it combines all these different metrics, supposed to be more accurate, went from 141 to 135. It jumped six spots. That's it. To get in the NIT, you're talking, unless you get some real special circumstance or the selection committee really goes out on a limb for you, I mean, you got to get into probably the low 80s, high 70s. I mean, they're going to have to move 50 spots. They moved 6 after being the number 6 team in the country, and they only have 5 regular season games left. So I just don't see there's enough there to move the needle to counteract that loss to Cal, to counteract the loss at Boise State or Air Force or the USD loss at home, the Brown loss at home. And it's just too much of that, you know, too much water under the bridge. I think they've got to win the tournament to go anywhere, unless they want to go into the CBI, which I don't think is a good idea. So they're gearing up for that, and that's the way they're approaching it. And, you know, they certainly are playing well enough right now. They're the hottest team in the Mountain West. But, you know, you got to do it in the tournament, and there's so many variables that you just can't predict that.
Yeah, tough to win those 3 straight games in 3 straight days there in Las Vegas as they did last year. Mark Ziegler is with us. Mark, how about Jalen McDaniels? How's his season coming along in general? Do you think he's gotten any closer to maybe – when this season is over, to moving on to the NBA? Do you think this season has kept him thinking maybe I'll take one more year at San Diego State, play with my brother, you know, once they get him recruited, because we're still hopeful of that. But how's his season gone along? Has it gone according to plan as far as he's concerned?
I think, you know, in the last month to 6 weeks, it's really turned, turned for the better. He's played great. Scouts who came saw him early in the season, I've seen the same scouts come back. I'm like, oh, you come back to see Jalen again? He goes, yeah, you know, I think we need to reevaluate him because he's playing so much better. You know, a couple mock drafts, he's moved into the low 20s, you know, sort of mid to late first round, later first round. A couple of them have him early second round. So he's certainly on the radar. My sense is he's gone. He's not coming back no matter what. I think he's just going to give it a shot and thinks this is the time to go. And take his next stage of development, whether it's in the G League or overseas or in the NBA. I think that's kind of the direction he's headed. Now, a lot can change. What's interesting to me is, you know, he's done what he can do against the rest of the Mountain West. They have a pretty good picture. He can get a double-double pretty much any time he wants. Now they want to see him against better athletes and better competition. So that's why there were 27 scouts and 3 GMs, NBA GMs, at the game last night, because they were evaluating him against the Martin twins, against Jordan Caroline, and vice versa. And the interesting thing to me was they all come down to see this game, and all 4 of them, in one shape or another, had really bad games.
Yeah,
I mean, at halftime, Caroline and McDaniels both had zero points at halftime. And in the middle of the second half, the Martin twins were combined 2 of 11 shooting and had 4 turnovers. Now, Caleb Martin ended up with 20 points, but a lot of them came late, garbage time, so to speak. I mean, when the game was starting to get out of control, he got a lot more of his points. But Caroline didn't have a good game at all. And Jalen played, to his credit, played, I thought, the best defensive game he's played all year. And that's been his criticism. But offensively, he wasn't able to do much against Cody Martin, who really kind of shut him down. So I'm not sure what that does for him going forward. I also think the big moment for him is going to be at the NBA Combine, because I think they really want to see him against other players. And the Mountain West isn't enough of a challenge to really evaluate an NBA type player.
That's a good point about Jalen last night, and that's what I liked about his game. Although he was pretty poor offensively, defensively he showed up. I mean, he kept both of the Martin boys well under 50% shooting, and I just thought he was tremendous defensively. One more question before we let you get out of here, Mark. Second year in a row, this team seems to be blossoming in the second half of the season. What has Coach Dutcher been able to get? How has he been able to get his team rolling once again, winning a lot of these games right now?
Well, they're slightly different situations. Last year there were injuries, and then they got Trakell back, and that kind of changed things. This year there weren't really any injuries other than Jordan Shackle, but not your senior lead guard. And this year was just a little bit more youth. And I just think, you know, in both years there was just kind of a, I don't know if it was just a completely an effort thing, an adjustment thing. They weren't playing hard 40 minutes. They just couldn't put it together early. And to Dutcher's credit, he's really patient. He just keeps saying, look, you know, he's learned this from Steve Fisher. Just keep, you know, chipping away, keep doing what we're telling you, keep buying into what we're trying to preach, and good things will happen. Good things happen to hard work. And then, you know, and you can look at it both ways. It's like, boy, if they had played like this early in the season, they wouldn't have lost all those games, and they'd be on the NCAA tournament bubble for an at-large bid right now, no matter what, and they'd have a marquee win. You know, on the other hand, hey, it's better to be playing, you know, your best basketball late, and the way the mid-majors are set up right now, there's so few at-large bids. Your best shot is through the conference tournament. So in that respect, it's you know, it's almost better that it's worked out this way, because, again, you know, maybe 3-4 at-large bursts will go to mid-majors out of the 260 mid-majors out there. And, you know, it's a better path just to win your conference tournament. And I think they have a great shot now the way they're playing. So I guess it's hard to criticize this kind of season, arc of the season that we've seen the last 2 years.
One thing we can say, at least with the what is it, the Jump 23 brand, maybe the Aztecs have a little edge over Duke in the shoe category. At least for 24 hours, they do.
Yeah, if you're talking about, you know, what's happening in the metrics and seedings, I think Adidas took over the number one spot from Nike last night.
That's crazy. Hey, Mark, thanks so much for the time. As always, we'll see you soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Good talking.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
There is Mark Ziegler, always outstanding.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.